Hello and welcome to the All or Nothing podcast. Today, Nicole and I, we're going to be talking about Mother Mary, but more on a personal level. This is part two of part one. Part one was all about the Catholic faith and how to defend Mother Mary to people who don't think that she has the honor that she does. Today, it's more personal. We're going to talk about our relationship with Mary, how we grew to love her more, and how we got closer to Jesus through her. How are you doing today, Nicole?
And how are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here with you. So a couple of my friends from Hawaii are Catholic women, and we went to one of the other islands. We went to Maui. I used to live on Oahu, and it was awesome. We decided one morning to go up to this really high mountain in Hawaii to see the sunrise because we heard it's amazing and you have to see it. It's like a once in a lifetime thing. The mountain is so high that it's above the clouds. And so we had to wake up super early to get to the top of this mountain, so we could see the sunrise. So we woke up super early, me and my friend Kate and my friend Malia. And so it was a long drive. And so somebody suggested, hey, let's pray the rosary. And so we're like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. So we start praying the rosary as we're going up this mountain, and it's about a 45-minute, like, windy mountain ride. We're praying the rosary. We realize that we're not going to be able to get to the top on time because we could see the sun was about to set, but we were above the clouds. And so we pulled off to the side. We get outside to see the sun, and it was so cold. Even though we were in Hawaii, it was so cold that I was freezing. So I was like, you know what, guys, this is beautiful, but I'm going to go wait in the car because I'm a freeze baby, even though I'm from Minnesota. Anyways, they're outside and I'm in my car, and I went down to pick something up off the ground, and I look up and I see that the sun has come above the clouds and it is spinning. The sun is spinning and it's like shooting out lights and colors and all these things. Are my eyes like, you know, is there something wrong with my eyes? What's going on? So I go to get out of the car to see if they saw that too. As I'm walking towards them, I was like, do you guys see that? And they're like, yes. Not only did they see it, but I felt completely warm. I was not the slightest bit cold. And I was amazed because I had heard like people who go to Medjugorje or even Fatima, the miracle of the sun, but I had never experienced it before. We just like sat there and stared at the sun for, it seemed like 15 minutes. I don't know if it was that long, but it was so neat. And so we're like, maybe this is just something that happens because of where the cloud hits the sun or whatever. So pretty much we went to the top finally, and we asked one of the park rangers, and we're like, is it okay to look at the sun when you're this high up? What? No, you should never look at the sun. And it doesn't matter where you are, how high you are. He just thought we were crazy. And we're like, oh, okay. Yeah, we thought it was, yeah, right. Like, just totally agreeing with him. But it was something that we were amazed that had happened. We were talking about it later. We couldn't believe that happened. I think the reason that happened was because we chose to pray the rosary, even though we could have just talked and had fun. We decided to take that time to give it to Mary, you know? And I think that was just her way of saying, thank you for thinking of me. It was really neat. One of my friends is a Catholic. She has six kids. She's awesome. She was the maid of honor at my wedding, and she's no longer Catholic. There's nothing, she's not against the rosary or against Mary or anything. It had to do with other things. I do think that's really neat that she experienced that. And my hope is that someday it'll bring her back to the Catholic faith. But anyway, so that is one of the miracles that happened for me. I'm honored that Mary would allow me to see that and to witness that, and that it wasn't just me. It was also two of my good friends, and just how it all happened. It was just so neat. So that's my personal story of how Mother Mary kind of showed me that she loves me in a special way.
Wow. That's amazing. I haven't heard that story. So that was really nice to hear.
That's amazing.
And you know, Mary is associated a lot, like you say, with the miracle of the sun. My dad had the experience when he was in Medjugorje. I just want to say with Medjugorje, because it's sort of new that the Vatican has put out that, you know, as an approved place to go now to visit, there's been a lot of, it's taken a long time for the church to approve. So people might have some hesitations when you hear about Medjugorje. I understand that. It's interesting because Medjugorje was a big part of my conversion, which I shared about. And that's just my story. And it's also part of like Father Don Calloway. He's like, this is just my story. I can't deny that this had to do with Medjugorje.
Can I share too that part of the reason why
it's not fully
or approved,
the person has passed,
apparitions are actually still
because
happening.
Because they don't want to approve
so
it, and
they
then
can't
later
fully approve anything
realize
unless Mary says
something else and it contradicts the Catholic faith. So they usually wait till the apparitions are fully done. That's why I think Medjugorje is very interesting, because they approved it in a certain way, not fully approved it. But they can't fully approve anything until all the apparitions are done. Some of the visionaries are still seeing Mary, which I think is fascinating, too.
Yes, very good point. I'm glad you jumped in there. Yeah, so it's approved to visit, and the church is saying, yeah, they believe that there's something happening there. So it's okay to visit. They're not condemning it. So that's a step forward. But as Heather said, can't actually approve it all until it stops. Like I say, my dad had a really powerful experience there. Saw the miracle of the sun and brought that to us and for our family. Growing up Catholic, we didn't always do the rosary together when I was young, something that we started to do after my parents went to Medjugorje, more so where we had prayed the seven Our Fathers, seven Hail Marys, seven Glory Bees. And that's where how it started for us. Mary, I did allude to having an experience with her when I was 9. It was this experience where I was awake in the middle of the night, which I never did. And my sister was in the lower bunk bed. I was in the top bunk bed and I had a nightlight on. I was just sort of laying there and I was looking out into the hallway. And all of a sudden her image, sort of like a blue kind of outline of what I believed was Mary, was there. And she didn't say anything. She had a red blanket over her shoulder and she was smiling. Nothing was said. I blinked my eyes and looked again. And I was like, oh my gosh. But my initial reaction was to yell for my dad. Now, I know that people are like, oh, well, that was, if you had, if you're scared, that can't be Mary or God. But, and I'm not comparing myself with any of the other kids who saw Mary, but sometimes their first initial reaction was fear. So they didn't know what was happening. So I just saw her and yelled out to my dad in the middle. And he came out and he's all confused because he's half asleep. And he's like, what, Nicole? And I said, it's Mary. He said, where? And when he came into the hallway, she moved in front of the closet. And I said, she's right there. And he's like, where? And I said, right there. And he didn't see her. And then she was gone. And, you know, I was terrified. I slept with my sister for a month and I would pray every night that she would not come back. Not, please, Jesus, don't bring her back. Because I was scared. And that was a snap moment in time after I forgot about all of that. It wasn't until I was in high school that when I went Vishka, one of the visionaries from Medjugorje, I listened to her talk and that all came back to me. I asked my dad, I said, Dad, maybe I wasn't seeing, like, maybe that was a dream or I was seeing something. He said, Nicole, I remember that night and you were seeing something. He said, ask Mary, ask if that was her, to give you some kind of sign, which I know we have to be careful about, like putting the Lord to the test. I hadn't really done that before. So we were about 2-hour drive away from where we lived, where we were listening to Vishka speak, and we drove home. I went into bed and I would wrap my rosary in between my hands and I slept with it. I never picked it, but I would sleep with it because it was a comfort to me, just feeling like God was close. I was looking at the metal of the rosary and when I flipped it over, it was Mary the way that I saw. And it could be on a million different rosaries, and it probably is, but it was Mary holding Jesus. Now, I did not see Jesus, but I saw a red blanket, but the way that she was, I like jumped out of bed. And I ran into my parents' room and I said, this is what I saw. It was the same night that Dad said, ask for a sign for her to show you. And I was like, you know, and again, I was what, 16, 17? And it was sort of the first time that God answered my prayer. And I just remember like being amazed by that. And just after that, though, it was very interesting. As years, like my early 20s, I started to have an aversion for the rosary. And I knew that was Satan. I felt like I was supposed to pray the rosary, but I'm like, I don't want to. And I was like resisting it. And I was doing some pro-life work in Wisconsin. I went to a priest and I was telling him like, I really feel called to pray the rosary, but like I have this like, I don't want like this resistance. And he said, come hell or high. And I told him about this experience. And he said, no, I should be, but I don't want to. And it's really strong, like not wanting to. And he said, come hell or high water, you pray that rosary every day. And he's like, obviously, like, she is a key to bringing us closer to Christ. And Satan doesn't want that. She's also in the book of Revelation. She's the one who crushes his head. So he does not want you to be close to her and bring, because she'll bring you closer to Christ. So, and I have not been perfect at it, but there was definitely times where I was living in Denver for a year doing youth ministry. And my friend from my net team, Katrina, we were driving to Texas and we were having a blast in the car. The Holy Spirit, it was like, I wasn't even thinking about praying at this time. Music on, we were hanging out and it was like, pray the rosary. So that came and I was ignoring it. I kept driving and I was like, pray the rosary. And then finally, after the third or fourth time, I shut the music off abruptly. And she kind of looked at me, and I don't know if she remembers this, but I said, oh my gosh, I said, we have to pray the rosary. The Holy Spirit will not leave me alone. So we did. And I knew she was always there. And who knows, like maybe we were going to pop a tire later down the road or something was going to happen, but it was persistent to pray the rosary. Those are just a couple of things. I'll let you share something. And then I'll share in a few minutes about the rosary and some of the miracles that have happened for other people through her intercession. It's been a journey for me. It wasn't easy. There's a lot of resistance, but now I pray the rosary daily. I miss a very odd time, but it's a part of my daily life. It becomes a habit. It's not always easy. It's a sacrifice to pray the rosary. It's like you try to do it with your heart. It's not about just checking a box and trying to think of her being with you, like praying with her to her son. It's the second most powerful prayer after the Mass because it's all about the life of Christ. People think it's all about Mary. No, it's with her, all about the life of Christ. So it's something I don't want to miss. Padre Pio called it the weapon of St. Padre Pio. And it truly is. It keeps evil at bay. I just really experienced that in my life. And that was a catalyst to starting to have a more regular relationship and praying the rosary more and getting to know her. And then having desire to go to some of these apparition sites was really because of this experience. So, yeah. I think you want to know, Heather?
Yeah. So it's funny that you say that about your whole, please, Mary, don't appear to me anymore. I remember, so I watched the movie, The Song of Bernadette.
Yep.
And it's about St. Bernadette and how Mary appeared to her and had her do some crazy things, like put mud on her face, dig in the dirt, put it on your face. It's interesting, her story. I loved her and that story, and the actress was phenomenal. And then there's another one about the three kids of Fatima. My mom, her friends all went to Medjugorje. I could not get enough, like, of all the hearing apparitions. And I just remember being the opposite of you. I was like, Mary, please appear to me. And I remember there were times at night where I'm like, please appear to me, but not right now. That would be really scary. Please let me be special like that. I do feel like God very specifically picked the people that Mary appears to. And they usually are very humble. They're usually people who would not necessarily want to be, you know, to see or have all of the glory, or people look at them like they're saints or whatever. They're usually very humble, not very smart usually, but they have pure good hearts and stuff. I just remember the opposite where I'm like, please appear to me. I want to be special. And then nothing. So there was something that one of my mom, her friend went to Medjugorje and she, never mind. I think I'm not going to share that story.
The version.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so it is funny. It is interesting. We all have different things. I would have loved to have Mary appear to me, and that wasn't for me, and that was for Nicole. And there might not be anything at the same time. Like maybe you never see the miracle of the sun. That's okay. It doesn't necessarily come with miracles. It's what God does in your heart through the rosary that is so beautiful and really brings you closer to her son. That is the whole point. And God chose the rosary. Like he is the one that okayed that and said that this will bring people closer to Jesus, and Mary can help through the power of the rosary. So, and God can do anything. Sometimes I think we limit God and we're like, where was that in the Bible? Or God can't do that. And we put him in this little box, but he can do anything. This is his world. This is his body. This is his, you know, he designed it all. He gets to decide, you know, that Mary was created to be the mother of God. He gets to decide that. And so who are we to question that or to belittle that? And so it's not Mary coming to us and making it up on her own. This was through God. God ordained this and said, yes, this is a good thing to pray the rosary. And like Nicole said, we should always pray the rosary, whether we want to or not. I have not wanted to pray the rosary. I've always loved Mary. I've always thought she was amazing. And I just like, I want to be a little Mary. When I was little, I was like, Mary, I want to be just like you. I want to be a little Mary. But I did not enjoy praying the rosary necessarily until later on in life, actually. My mom used to pray all four mysteries of the rosary. And so I would usually pray one with her just because I loved my mom so much. I thought my mom was the coolest thing ever. She was just right about everything and, you know, could do no wrong. So I'd pray with her to be close to my mom. I did love Mother Mary, but I didn't necessarily enjoy praying the rosary. It wasn't until more recently that I got into like a cozy place, like physically, where I would just like get cozy. The kids weren't around me and I could really like focus on Mary and focus on the joy that she would experience for the birth of Jesus. Like, what was that like for her to experience? What was that like for her to experience the joy of holding the Son of Jesus in her arms? So what was it like for Mary to have that joy to hold the baby Jesus? So for me, that helped me a lot. I know that the sorrowful mysteries are so powerful and good too, but my favorite ones are the joyful mysteries. And also the glorious. Like, I love the thought of her rising and not dying and being crowned. I love all of that. But I think that was good for me, even though the sorrowful mysteries, from my understanding, is Jesus's favorite ones. So that's why I usually, if I do a second one, I'll usually do the joy or the sorrowful ones because I know they're his favorite. But honestly, my favorites are the joyful ones. Like, I love that she gets to be with baby Jesus. Like, that whole thing is so good for me. And even her yes to Jesus is just so powerful. Who am I to say no? She said yes to carrying the Son of God. So it's a really good reminder of how I should be. The way Mary is the ultimate example of how we should love Christ. And that is to say yes to God with everything.
Yeah, so true, Heather. Yeah, no, she's so good. And honestly, it's not like And again, I am not comparing myself to St. Birch, anybody like that. I wasn't a great kid in a lot of ways. I could be mean to my neighbors, to my brothers and sister. Like I struggled with virtue. It's funny though, when I was 17, I had that experience when Dad's like, ask Mary. I was praying then. I was like, show yourself now. I was with a bunch of people and she did not. And that never happened again. I just felt like she knows what we need. I think I still struggle with the middle child thing. I want to feel special to God and to Our Lady and the saints. And it's hard sometimes still, to be honest with you, and some of you guys might feel this way, is that, you know, you look at some of the saints, like I have a connection with Padre Pio, for example, and I feel really close to him. But then I find out all these other millions of people do too. And I'm just like, I just want him to myself. Or like, well,
yeah,
be special to someone. But there's usually a wound, I think, as a middle child. It's sort of that wanting to be set apart. And when people say, God loves you, it's like, well, yes, but he loves everybody. Like, he wants, like, you know, I'm just lost in the mix, but you're not. And I know that I'm not, but sometimes it can feel that way. And I think that's very normal to want to be special because we're created for fullness of love. But the thing is, we will never get it here on this earth and that we're not meant to. And that's why there's a hunger for more, because even with the love that everyone could give us or as special as we can feel, it will never fill the full void of what we're longing for when we gaze upon the face of Christ in heaven. That's our destination. God will, that's our goal. So there'll always be a little bit of that longing that won't be filled here. I don't believe that doesn't mean we don't have peace and can't have wonderful experiences or feel special. There's a longing that will never be satisfied because this is just a pilgrimage to our way home.
Have you ever read the book Our Lady of Cabejo by any chance?
No, you mentioned that the last time. I've heard your story on YouTube, but I'm not a huge reader, even though I'm a teacher, but I am going to read that book.
It's really an easy, fun read. Fascinating. I was thinking about Mary appearing to those children. And it was interesting because they weren't necessarily the most humble and the not smartest girls. Some of them actually were kind of mean. And so I take that back that she only appears. But I was thinking about, I was like, wow, it is interesting though, how they do pick certain people and they know why. Like, they know why. And we don't know why, but that story is so fascinating to me because it was like one after the other. I think there were, I don't know, 7 or 9 of the girls. It was an all-girls school. And Mary slowly kept appearing to different people, like different children. And, you know, and one of them like made fun of the girls for like saying that she was appearing. And then Mary appeared to her and she's now this devout, you know, like very devout. And so it's just, it is fascinating, all the different stories. But that is one book that I recommend to everybody because it is so fascinating. It really is. Like there, one of the girls ended up dying. And Jesus told her, like, you're going to die. I think it was over Holy Week. It was 3 days. Her heart was at such a slow beat. And he said, don't bury. Make sure you tell them not to bury you because you're going to seem dead, but you're going to be in heaven and experience it. She told them. And like, sure enough, they were like close to burying her because they're like, she's dead, you know. And so she came back to alive and told them about heaven and how it was like insane. Like she never even thought heaven could be like that and stuff. So
wow,
it's a fascinating book. I highly recommend. That's probably going to be my one more thing because I think everybody should read it. It's a very fun read and it's fascinating because they did document it all. Like it was like the diocese, you know, okayed it and like had people go and do all these, you know, scientific tests and all the things. And so it's pretty amazing to hear the different stories that Mary have appeared to people.
Yeah, no, and that's, yeah. And again, that never happened again for me. So it's not, but I think it was significant because I think with the pro-life, it was a red blanket that I saw. Maybe I'll have my dad on and tell you his side of the story. I did pro-life work and I thought, oh, there's like, I didn't see.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that would make total sense. Like maybe she was holding like the unborn babies that you're going to help someday or something.
Yeah, I couldn't see. It's just like a red blanket on her shoulder, but the baby was missing too. So I don't know. Someone mentioned that to me later on in life and said, well, maybe that. And I was like, I never even thought of that. But wow. I did no life work later on. So I don't know. It's like, oh, maybe that. I really have no idea. But, and it was, like I say, it was free. But I just wanted to say too, there's been miracles. Some of you guys who are still maybe skeptical or just unsure, because why do we need her when you can go straight to Jesus? You can go back to our last video, but there's such a beauty getting to know Jesus through her eyes and through her heart. I want to share a couple of quick things. One thing was, I'm sure most of you have heard about the serial killer, Ted Bundy. And there was this college girl who prayed the rosary before she came to college. And her mom would always tell her to pray the rosary. He had been killing a lot of different girls. And this one night he came into her room. She was really tired, but she had prayed the rosary and she slept with the rosary. And he was thrown out. Of like a force threw him out and she woke up and asked for a priest immediately. The police were called. He was thrown out. And so this is really interesting. So she said, I don't know. All I know is I prayed the rosary because Ted Bundy was like really taken back by it because he said, I was literally thrown out by a force. And wow. So later on, Ted Bundy in the jail, he had asked for a priest to come. And lo and behold, it was the same priest who met with this girl after the incident. And he said, do you remember that night? Ted Bundy said, yes, I was thrown out. He said, by this force. He said, I was there. I was there that night and I met with a girl and it's because she prayed the rosary. So her life was spared. I was blown away. You guys can look that up too. It's all on the internet about Ted Bundy and this college girl who prayed the rosary and just the protection, like the protection there, you know, with her mantle, being a good mom to protect her kid. And that's not to say other people who have died are loved and cared for, but for some reason this night as a witness to faith and to Our Lady and the power of the rosary through Jesus, this was now all over the news. So I would highly recommend that you check that out. The other thing was I was going to share that I want to recommend, I guess, that the 4 full rosaries, so all like the Joyful Mysteries, which is 5 decades, then the Luminous, the Sorrowful, and the Glorious Mysteries. And I know that John Paul II had added the Luminous Mysteries, which I really love. It's just the different highlights of when he was alive. But I prayed that and I only had the grace. I've tried to do it since, but there is, if you have a serious intention that you need an answer for, or you need extra grace, I really want to recommend the power of the full rosary. So you could pray when you just get up, maybe around lunch, supper and bedtime. One of those could be a family rosary if you have a family. I had a situation that was very, very stressful that I needed protection. And it was about two to three months where I prayed that this situation would dissolve immediately. It did. And I had the grace where I prayed the full rosary. Now, when you do pray the full rosary, you don't have to pray the Apostles' Creed again, the Our Father and the three Hail Marys. You just do that the very first time. And then you start at the first decade of the next mystery and keep going. And again, it's all in the life of Christ. It's all biblical. So those of you who think it's Mary, Luke 1 talked about Hail, full of grace. The Lord is with you when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Throughout, especially Luke, you can find the Hail Mary. The last part that we added was pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. We're asking her to pray for us. We're not praying to her. We're asking her to pray for us, who is gazing upon the face of her son as we speak. There's no person closer to Jesus than his mother. So I just wanted to throw that out there that, just even start small. But if you have resistance and you find that daunting, again, it's a sacrifice, like fasting through Lent. Praying the rosary is still a sacrifice. I would much prefer to do something else. But I try to put my heart into it and picture Mary being there and talking to her about her son. It helps me focus. I also have a statue of Mary that I try to have present, or if I'm in the car, there's an app I have and the picture can come up. So each mystery, can stay focused and even start with a decade and offer it up consistently. Yeah. And don't miss a day, you know, and then when you then move on to two and maybe the full five mysteries or five, you know, so be patient with yourself. It does take time, but I promise you, you will grow closer to Christ, not further away as people might think. You're not kidding.
All right. Well, that was a great podcast, I feel like. Thank you so much for sharing, Nicole. I think that that is so important to just even start with a decade. It doesn't have to be too much. Just start off easy. That's what we started in our family, was just a decade every night. Once the kids were older, we do a full rosary now. Not the four mysteries, but a full rosary. You can work up to it. My kids do it. So if my kids can do it, really anybody can do it. Over on my YouTube channel, I do A Catholic Mom's Life. I have a video that explains it, and I literally pray with you bead for bead. And it's one of my top videos. And I also have like PDFs that you could print out. I have on there like what the prayers are, each prayer. And people have said it's so helpful. So if you want to learn how to pray the rosary, I'll link that in the show notes or down below. Pass that on too to other people that might want to learn the rosary, because the rosary is the most powerful weapon in the world. We should know how to pray it. Even if we don't pray it every day, we should know how to pray it. And our children should know how to pray it. It is so powerful and it brings nothing but us closer to God. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to say one more thing. Definitely Our Lady of Cabejo book. I think everyone should have it. It's a really interesting read. It's every reading level. If you just want a quick, fun read, it's for you. One more thing. Nicole, what's your one more thing?
It's nothing specific except for more sunshine. I live in the north of Canada, not as far north as I could, but we have a lot of darkness in our winter. And now the sun is setting much later, like almost 7 p.m. It gets lighter and lighter to the end of June. And it's such relief and grace to be able to be outside and go for a walk after supper. Whereas before, we have lots of animals in Alberta. So there's cougars and moose and coyotes. So I can never walk after supper. And now I can go for evening walks. And it's just, it's so simple. But it, the sunlight and having longer days, it's made a huge difference for me.
Just it's a game changer.
Game changer. It is. Yeah. Love it. So I'm so grateful. And then last thing I was just going to say, if you're struggling with Lent, I just want to encourage you. There's you know, a couple more weeks by the time that you listen to this to Easter with Holy Week. Just revisit, try to do something, even one thing well for the next couple of weeks. And don't beat yourself up if it hasn't been a good Lent. I've been struggling with Lent myself this year with discipline. And it's tough. I'm having a hard time. So you're not alone. Try to refocus and don't be discouraged. Just keep going.
Thank you so much for joining us for this All or Nothing. We'll see you next week with our next video. God bless. Bye. Thanks.